Welcome to the Roy Matlock Jr. Money and Business Hours, where he'll help you fix your finances once and for all. To reach Roy, call 615-843-2999. That is 615-843-2999, or visit RoyMatlockJr.com. Now, here's your host, Roy.
All right, Roy Matlock Jr. here, and we are talking money, and this show is going to be a very... Hopefully, for some of you, enlightening. I want to help you because, you know, when markets are choppy and markets are down and we have scares and we have all these kind of things going on, you need to be educated and you need to understand, you know, what actions you should take. And so today we're going to talk about how to handle market declines. I'm going to also talk about how to stay calm. How about that? When the markets go the wrong way. You know, we have a lot of noise going on. There's so much noise going on in the markets. We've got, you know, this coronavirus, which is a, I bring up that because, of course, that's the trigger point right now. But what you have to realize is there's always going to be things that kind of are trigger points that cause things to go up or cause things to go down. But, you know, we live in a great country and we're very resilient and it continues to go well. And so I want to start out by giving you some things to think about that you need to stay focused, okay? Shock events, all right? These are things that can cause people to act on their emotions. And when you start acting on your emotions, you say to yourself, wow, you know, I sure do like it when the market goes up, but no one expects the market to go up 25% a year. But they also don't expect it to go down 25% a year. Remember that. I don't think you think it's going to go down every year for 25%. It's going to go up and it's going to go down. And so what happens is shock events put people into a mindset that they allow their emotions to do things like, the stock market went down and I'm losing my 401k is down. I'm losing my money. And then the next thing you know that's going to happen is I'm going to lose my job, all right? And then I'm going to lose my job. And when I lose my job, then I'm not going to be able to pay my bills. And the next thing you know, I'm not going to be able to stay in my house. And I'm going to lose my house. I'm going to lose my car, all right? My kids aren't going to have anything to eat. And before I know it, I've walked myself right off a cliff, all right? And so what we have to do is we have to realize that emotions will put us in positions that we don't want to be in. And so you got to, when you start feeling that way, you got to take a deep breath and soak it in and say, you know what? It's okay. This is come and gone. And we need to pay attention to that. So I want to give you some examples of what really has happened. When we go out, we try to look at markets and things like that. I want to give you some stats to start with. 5% drop in the market happens about 3% or three times per year. It will last about 43 days if it drops 5%. The market will drop this since 1950. It'll drop 10% about once a year, and it will stay down for about 112 days. It'll drop 15% every 4 years. And the average time is about 262 days for recovery. And it'll happen minus 20% or more about once every 6 years. And it's about a 400-day recovery time. So here's what happens. What that means is that if you have a market decline, guess what's going to happen? It's going to go. It's going to come back eventually. You know, when I first got in the business back in the early 80s, 1987, we had the stock market crash, Black Monday, and it went from 2000, okay, and it dropped. You know, we had the big market crash, and guys, it's 10 times higher today than it was back then. So these times will pass, and so what you've got to do always is keep your conversation going with whoever you're working with, the financial advisor, in good times and in bad times. So what happens is the most important key to any type of investing when you're doing stuff like this is you've got to make sure that you're always properly asset allocated. And we're going to talk about that later in the show today about asset allocation. And that allows you to always be comfortable. Now, asset allocation should be going on all the time. So when something goes, you know, like a big market decline, you should be sitting there saying, well, that's okay because I'm allocated properly. I've got X in bonds, X in stocks, and therefore I'm going to lose X, but the market's going to lose more because I was allocated. I took part of it and was a little more conservative. So you get your risk tolerance in place and work with the person. Whoever, if you're doing it yourself, you need to be very careful to have your risk tolerance in place to where when these things happen, you don't worry about it when the market goes down. So you always need to keep the conversation open. The second way you stay calm is you revisit your long-term plan. Now, let me give you what a long-term plan is. A long-term plan for people is to go out and have a lifetime income that you pass on to your kids. How about that? A long-term plan is to make sure that you're able to have enough money on a regular monthly basis to pay your bills, and if you're retired, to be able to do that. If you're in the accumulation stage, your plan is to save money every single month in your 401k or your IRA or whatever it may be. So what we want to do is revisit the lifetime plan. And the long-term plan is a lifetime plan on investing. It's called your FIN number. Your FIN number takes into account upward and downward moments in the market. So you need to remember that. So what's your FIN number? If you don't have a FIN number, you need to be thinking about getting your FIN number. Your FIN number is the most important thing. So what we're going to do to start with, I've got four keys to help you stay calm, okay? Four keys. The first one is stay in touch with whoever you're working with, or get someone if you're feeling uncomfortable that can help you. Number two, you need to revisit the long-term plan. We'll be right back. I've got so many good things. I'm going to give you stats and details that are going to help you to just roll through this and take advantage of what may be a great opportunity. My name's Roy Knightlake Jr., and we'll be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymountlikejr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. Okay, we're back. Roy Knightlake Jr., and today's show, we're talking about how to stay calm in the market, how to handle market declines, what you should be thinking about. If you are just tuning in, the first part of the show had to do with what I think to be two of the most important things that you can do is, number one, keep the conversation going. So if you are worried right now, don't make snap decisions and things like that. I hope that you've been talking to whoever you work with when times are good as well as when times are bad. And so what you got to be thinking about is always being allocated. We're going to talk about asset allocation as the show goes on, but that's the key element. And then make sure your risk tolerance is in line. So right now, hey, the market's down. You're seeing choppy markets, stuff like that. You're not sitting here worried to death, you know, because you've got it too aggressive or something like that. So second thing is revisit the long-term plan, your FIN number. That's the amount of money that you need to have in order to quit and never worry about running out of money. And right now, when you have market declines, especially if you're in the accumulation stage, hey, you're getting a bonus right now because you're getting to buy at a discount. How about that? That's pretty cool. And so we don't know where the market is going to hit. We don't know what the bottom is, but we do know what the top has been. And if you're buying right now, you know you're not buying at the top. And so I want to remind you the old adage, buy low, sell high. That's a better idea. But the real adage is buy and hold long term. And then what ends up happening is it's always been the best thing. Now, let's talk about current events and put them in historical perspective. You know, right now you hear the coronavirus. That's the, you know, the big thing that's happening. And of course, the stock market has pulled back in a big way as a result of this. But I want to bring you back in time to 2003. So the first in the last 20 years, here's what we've had. We've had SARS. How about that? All right. And the market took a hit. We had the avian flu and the market took a hit. We had the swine flu and the market took a hit. How about that? We had the, I guess it's called MERS, M-E-R-S, coronavirus, and the market took a hit. We had the Ebola. How about that? And the market took a hit. We had Zika and the market took a hit. And now we've got the coronavirus and the market has taken a hit. But here's what you need to know. The market's up 2.5 times, okay, since, actually more than that, since SARS, all right? So what happens is, if you look at the charts, history shows us that markets react to news events in the short term, but they have tended to reward patient investors over the long term. How about that? So if you're patient, you pay attention, you say, man, I know this will pass. It always has. And as a result of it, you have been able to stay the course. I'm giving you a motivational talk right now, some directional talk. And that directional talk is stay the course, stay focused on your goals. Make sure that you don't lock in losses. You know, one of the things that I tell people is when the market goes down, you got three choices. Choice number one is lock in your losses. Now, if I just tell you right off the bat, I say, I got an idea for you. Why don't we lock in our losses? That alone just doesn't make sense to me. Let's lock in our losses. Nope. I don't like that. That's one option you have anytime you have market declines. The second option is you just stay disciplined and you stay in the market and you make sure you're allocated correctly and have faith in the fact that over a long period of time, historically, the markets have always done well. Now, does that mean it's going to happen overnight? No. Am I giving you specific investment advice today? Absolutely not. This is a radio show. But here's what I know. I've been doing this a long time. And the people who have stayed the course, they did the things they're supposed to do. Discipline, dollar cost averaging, and diversification. They have the right things in place in the form of asset allocation. They always have someone pay attention to their risk tolerance. So they're involved in things that they can live with, that they can sleep good at night. They have goals in place. They have a plan in place. They have a schedule in place, the GPS from from start to finish, goal plan, schedule to get where you want to be, when you want to get there. They have a FIN number to where they look at it and they say, yeah, okay, all I got to do is keep on doing this. If I'm putting in money every month, this is when I make my money. You make your money on market declines when you're buying. That's what happens. And so over time, this happens. Anybody that has, you know, if you've been around and you had money in 2008, this time, that time passed. We've seen this happen in 2000. We've seen it in a lot of other periods of time. So the fourth thing is acknowledge your emotions, okay? Acknowledge them, all right? A key finding of behavioral economists that people often act irrationally when making investment choices. They deal with money just – it takes them to a whole different level, okay, of where they're at. So what you have to be doing, okay, you got to realize that when you're in a turbulence, you just hang on and you just stay focused and you keep it going. And so my name's Roy Matlock. What we do is help people with their money. That's what I do. And I want to continue helping you with your money. Today, we're going to talk about the three D's. We're going to talk about, you know, how to handle market declines. All right. The first four that I talked about was how to stay calm, right? So what are we talking about in staying calm? The first one is what? What we have to do to stay calm is we got to always, 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 always keep your conversation going with the person you work with your money. If you have somebody that you trust, that's the key element. Talk to them. Talk to the financial advisor. Let them give you factual information that will allow you to feel better about what's going on. You know, financial worries are always something that, you know, can shut people down. And what I've always known is that financial worries are just part of a discipline that you have to be tough enough to go through and keep your eye on the ball where you want to end up. So what you start thinking about right now, you say, man, what if I could make some extra money right now? Maybe this would be my chance, right? Maybe this is the way I can do things. You know, two things that we always talk about is raise your income. That's a key element, all right? And then cut your expenses. And then that frees you up money to invest. And so I want you to remember the four keys to staying calm. Keep your conversation going, revisit and pay attention, and remind yourself of the long-term plan. Place current events in perspective. This is not the first virus that's been around, all right? Number four, acknowledge your emotions and recognize that that's what they are. So soak them in. Let them just go right down into your body and say to yourself, okay, I'm fine. I'm going to get through this. Everything's going to work out. That's how you keep focused and moving forward. And one day what will happen is you'll wake up and say, man, I sure am glad I made smart decisions when a lot of people are making bad decisions. My name is Roy Matlock Jr. We will be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999. $29.99. And stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, we're back. Roy Matlock Jr. Today's show is how to stay calm when the markets are making you, I don't know what we call it, scared, maybe? Maximum pessimism, you know, the world is caving in kind of thing. How to stay calm in those markets. That's what we've been talking about. We're going to continue doing that. Wanted to give you, I saw this article. I thought it was very telling. You know, I started putting money into the market in 1985, and I've had some type of bank draft where they take it out of my checking account during that time, the entire time. And it doesn't really matter, you know, if you're getting started right now, put $50 a month in, $100 a month, whatever it is. But all I know is this, is that over a long period of time, it's worked out well for me. So when people start talking to me and they say, well, what should we do? What should we do? Well, what you should do is continue the course. Just keep putting your money in, make sure you're asset allocated, all that kind of stuff. But here's an article. It was February the 28th, 2020, and it says new research, this is on CNBC, going back 120 years, backs up Warren Buffett's simple advice for investing. Now, I think most of you know who, a lot of you know who Warren Buffett is, but Warren Buffett is of the billionaires, one of the few billionaires that actually made it from investing money. A lot of your billionaires, I mean, if you think about Bezos, you know, the wealthiest guy around, Bill Gates, you know, the guy that started Facebook, all those guys started companies and made money. Warren Buffett invested money and started when he was a kid and then through college, and then he continued to invest money and invest money and invest money and invest money. And in a recent interview, the 89-year-old said he has been a net buyer of stocks. Now get this, what that means is that he bought more than he sold, all right? He's been a net buyer of stocks every year since he was 11 years old. How about that? That includes 14 U.S. presidents. Now, I'm going to do a show on, you know, what happens, the mistakes. It's amazing the mistakes people make. And they've gone back in time and during election years, how people act ridiculous. They make they and the reason is they buy in to the news. All right. And what they do is they say, you know, this is, you know, what's going to happen with the election if Trump gets elected? What's going to happen if he doesn't get elected? What you know, well, Democrats, Republicans, all this kind of stuff. Yet the stock market continues to go up and has been forever. And the thing that's interesting about it is election year, people make all these crazy moves with their money. All right. It's the most amazing thing. Then they go right back to doing what they were doing once the president is elected. And so what you need to be thinking about is we're going to be smart. That's what we're going to do. We're going to stay smart, and we're going to stay on track. Let me give you an example. For 120 years, the annualized real return after inflation has been this. Stocks, 5.2%. Bonds, 2%. 0.8% for treasury bills. That would be cash. All right, 120 years real return. It analyzed 23 countries in three different regions, okay? And it went all the way back, okay, to 1900, and that the wealth from investing in stocks would have been 165 times larger than that of putting it in T-bills or cash. How about that? So for every dollar you would have had, had you put it in the market, you would have had $165. Now, along the way, though, you're going to have to live with some things, and that's some upward and downward movement. And so we're going to talk about now how to deal with markets that are declining. So step number one, all right, is that markets always decline. They have risen steadily for most of the last decade, but history tells us the stock declines are always part of investing. The good news, when they do go down 10% or more, or bear markets, which are 20% or more, the length of time they're down is not down that very long, okay? 5% down last 43 days, 10% or more, 112 days, 15% or more, 262 days, and 20% or more, 401 days. And by the way, it happens about every 6 years, you have a 20% drop, and that's considered being in bear territory. So what is the answer? Time in the market is what matters, not market timing. How about that? Time in the market is what matters, not market timing. Listen to me. Time in the market, not timing, is what matters. So let's look at this. Every S&P decline of 15% or more since 1929 has been followed by a recovery. The average return in the first year after the bottom of these declines. Now get this, guys. All right. So when the market has gone down 15% or more since 1929, I want you to sit here and I want you to be listening and I want you to say, what is the average return the first year after those declines? All right. Ask yourself that. What's the average? I want you to just guess. Write something down. Let me give you the number. 54%. What about that? Is that crazy? That's what we're talking about. All right. The average return the first year after each decline, 54%. Even missing out on a few days will knock you out. Let me give you an example. If you put $1,000 in the S&P 500 in 2010, it would have grown to $2,800 by the end of 2019. But if you missed just the best 10 days during that period, in other words, if we go back for 10 years and you were had markets, there's 250 days ballpark a year, so 2,500 days. If you missed the 10 best, you lose 33%. How about that? So are you telling me that you can time 10 days out of 2,500? Can you really do that? Nobody can do that. So here's what you do. You leave it alone. You put your money in there and you forget about it. That's what you got to be thinking about. Long term is the mindset. I've always thought long term. Now, are you going to do it differently? You might. And if you're smarter than all the brains that have been able to do this, then you should do that. But my experience has been I'm not that smart that I can do that. What I can do is stay focused. I'm very good at staying focused. I have not thought for 1 second moving to cash or anything like that when markets decline. Not one time have I ever worried about that. Have I ever worried about what's going to happen when the stock market, depending on what president gets elected? No, I don't worry about it. I have my ideas, but you know what? What I found is there's always going to be companies that are capable of solving problems. And when they do, and it's a big problem, they always end up growing. And when they grow, their value grows. And the people that are in the know that are studying this, they're paying attention to it. And they're saying, wow, you know what? That's something we should put in. Then if you put it across funds like mutual funds, you get the diversification, which allows you to be able to have all of your money, maybe 2 or 3% in any one stock or bond. And then that way you diversify yourself. And even if they make some bad decisions, guess what? You're still okay. So, hey, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. This is what we do, help people make wise choices with their money, especially when they're temporarily, potentially insane. How about that? That's what happens. People make bad choices on emotion. I'm here to help you. My name is Roy Matlock Jr., and we will be right back. I hope you're enjoying today's podcast. Listeners tell me they love the education they get, and I'll keep doing that. Yet I keep hearing things like, I'm worried about my financial future. I'm worried about retiring. I'm fearful of running out of money. I'm confused. I'm concerned. You know, all these different words that, you know, really just kind of scare people and scare me when I hear that. And I ask myself, why is it that if you love this show and you're listening to this podcast and all this great information, it's not happening? Well, it's called procrastination. So I want to encourage you to do a couple of things. The first thing is this. If you were referred to the show by one of my affiliates, they may have been talking to you about getting your finances straight and you haven't done it yet, then I would encourage you to set that one-on-one financial coaching session where they can meet with you and actually put in place the things that you personally need in order to reach your financial independence number. If not, I would encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com. You can go there, download some of our great pieces like How Money Works, and then also pick the phone up and schedule a time. We can set you up with someone in your area. Call this number, 615-843-2999, 615-843-2999, and stick with me. We've got more to come. All right, coming into our last segment, my name is Roy Matlock Jr. If you're tuning in right now, we're talking about how to stay calm when the markets are not calm, and right now we're going to talk about how to handle market declines, and I've got several tips on that, but you know, to review you a little bit, market declines are part of investing. It's not if, it's when. They're always going to do that, so just expect it. That's the way it works. I can give you stats that'll blow your mind when it comes to this kind of stuff. Let me throw another one out here that I think is interesting. And this goes back to 1937. There's been 63 positive years, and there has been 20 negative years. How about that? And the average positive has gone up 19%, 19.4. The average negative return is down 12.2, which built in a average return of about 10% since that period of time. So what does that say? Be disciplined. Leave your money alone. Everything works out. As we came out of the break, I talked about, you know, you got to keep your money fully invested. And if you put in a $1,000 investment in the S&P in 2010, 10 years later, $2,800 by the end of 2019. But if you missed just the 10 best trading days during that time, you lost 33% of your gain. So let me give you an example. $1,000 S&P 500 during that period of time grew to $2,897. If you miss the 10 best days, it grew to $1,945. If you miss the 20 best days out of over 2,500 trading days, you went to $1,458. If you missed the 30 best trading days, you went to $1,148. And if you missed 40 of the best trading days, now think about this. In other words, 40 of the best days out of 2,500 days, your $1,000 grew to $923. So what does that say to you? Just put it in, forget about it, don't worry about it. You can't time the market. I've yet to see anybody really time the market. All right, let's talk about emotional investing can be hazardous. This guy, his name is Kahneman. He won the Nobel Peace Prize in 2002 for his work in behavioral economics. And he investigates how individuals make financial decisions. All right, he says a key finding in this behavioral economics is that people often act irrationally when making such choices. Emotional reactions to market events are perfectly normal. Investors should expect to feel nervous when markets decline, but it's the actions that are taken during those periods that can be the difference in whether you win or lose. So if you think about killing somebody, it's different than if you do it, right? If you think about shooting yourself in the foot, it's different than pulling the trigger. So what happens is when the markets are going against you, you think about it. It's perfectly normal to be concerned, all right? But what you don't want to do is do what emotions tell you to do. When the market's high, people want to buy. When the market's low, they want to sell. It's the only thing I know of, all right, that people tend to want to run from it when it's on sale, and they can't wait to get involved in it when it's at the top. It's like going to Kmart, if you're back old enough like me, where they had the blue light special. You stand there and the blue light is going off, and that's where you get the deal, and you walk over there and says, okay, 40% off while the blue light's going, and people run over there to the blue light, and you sit there and you say, hang on a second, I can buy this item right now for $6. It was $10 because of the blue light. Nah, I think I'm going to wait until the blue light goes off and pay $10 for it. I don't want that blue light. What I want is that full price. And that's what people do when it comes to the market. You know, I sit here and I say, man, you know, the market's going down. What does that mean? That means if you're buying every month in your 401k, guess what's happening? You're getting to buy more shares for the same dollar. So that's cool. All right. The fourth thing you do to handle market declines is you make a plan and stick to it. So creating and adhering to a thoughtfully constructive investment plan is how you avoid short-sighted investment bad decisions. All right. So particularly when the market goes down. So here's what you need to be thinking about. Something called dollar cost averaging. If you want to know the three keys to really doing well with your money, is discipline, diversification, and dollar cost averaging. Get those in. Three D's. Discipline, diversification, dollar cost averaging. All right. So what is dollar cost averaging? That means that you put a set amount of money in every month and you forget about the market. You don't care what the market does. Matter of fact, what you really want to do is kind of decline while you're putting it in, and then one day it comes back, and all those shares you got to buy at a discount, thus giving you a lower cost per share. That's called dollar cost averaging. Now, the next one is diversification. So I want to give you some examples of what diversification is all about. I'll give first off, let me tell you the things I believe. Now, does this mean that what I believe is all, is it all knowing? No, this is what I believe though. I believe that an amateur, which majority of the people listening are amateurs, including me when it comes to this, I don't research individual stocks. I don't have time. I don't have the resources to do that. So what I do is I like to have a diversified portfolio. Now, I have people tell me all the time, they say, well, what about my company stock? I said, well, hey, I wouldn't have more than 10% in it, okay? And that's really a lot, just to kind of put it in perspective. Your company may be great, but most of your mutual fund portfolios on great companies that they research, I mean, they do real research. They go and meet with the C-level employees, and they meet with, I'll give you an example. I went to a big mutual fund company, and they said, here's how we research companies. He was a pharmaceutical analyst, so he studied like this coronavirus, drugs and vaccines and stuff like that. And he said, the first thing we do is we go meet with, he said, to begin with, I'm a medical doctor. So he was a medical doctor to start with. Then he got his MBA. So now he's a medical doctor that's got a business master's degree. So now he's studying pharmaceutical stocks, drug stocks. So I would think that if you got an MD combined with a business guy, that's a pretty good guy to be able to start digging into individual stocks involving drugs. So he does that. He said, so that's my background. He said, then what I do is I go meet with the C-level of every company that would, before we put money in, I go to the C-level. That's the CEO and the president, all that kind of stuff. He said, then I go into their employee ranks. I talk to them and just kind of get the feel of the way the employees think, you know, what's the environment, that kind of, I go to research and development, see how things are coming along, what's going on, that kind of stuff. You know, they have some exciting stuff. He said, then after that, he said, I'll go to the doctor's conventions and I'll start asking them questions like, what are you prescribing? You know, what do you think is the best maybe for high blood pressure, whatever it may be? He said, then after that, he said, I'll go and talk with some of the patients to see how they're responding. He said, then I take all of those companies and I divide them up into A, B, C, D, and E. And he said, and then we send it up to D.C. to see what we think the political environment is with our political people as it relates to just the pharmaceutical industry in general. He said, then we make our investments and we try to put the most money into the ones that we feel like are the best. But we don't have usually more than about 3% of our money, even after all of that. So if you're investing on your own and you think you're going to outperform these people, they're the same people that don't trust the retail stores. So what they do is they have people standing in front of the mall counting. So they get the real truth of the traffic and how retail's going and stuff like that. And so, and then what happens even then, okay, they don't make money, you know, about 25% of the time the market's down. But over a long period of time, they do this and they make it happen. And then what they find is that each asset class is kind of different. And so what happens is you'll have a year where, you know, the market is you know, the best place for you to have your money would be maybe in large company stocks. Another year, so to give you an example, and I think I can go through this with you. You know, 2018, if you had it in cash, that was your best place. You had U.S. large cap stocks in 2019. You had emerging markets in 2017. You had large caps in 16. Large caps in 15. Man, large caps in 14. How about that? Then you have emerging markets, you have bonds in 2011. I can go back in time. And so it shows you what the best and the worst was. Okay. So what you have to do is be diversified. So what I would say to you is this: if you're in a situation right now where you've got money and you're concerned, get with whoever you work with, or at the very if you're not working with someone, get someone that does this to help you to make sure you're properly diversified. You know, that's what we do. All right. Another thing that you look at is a portion of your money maybe in bonds. All right. It's interesting how bonds typically don't correlate to the stock market, meaning that they zig when the stock market zagged. So what that means is when the bond market is stock market's down. All right. The bond market might be up. And so as you get older and at or near retirement, a lot of people will tend to have more money in bonds, okay, not more money than stocks. You know, you have different recommendations, but you might be going more toward the bonds. Younger people will be more toward equities. That's not each and every one. I want to make sure that's not specific. When we do these shows, we want to give you just an overview of how things work, but bonds and stocks make it up, and then you have cash. And so that's where you have emergency funds, you have things like that. And so what you need to be thinking about always is be educated. Be educated on what you do. Don't allow yourself to get pulled into the emotion of the noise. You need to be thinking about, I'm always going to learn. And here's how you learn. You learn by listening to shows like this. You learn by reading and podcast and all these kind of things. And so what I want to encourage you to do, I had a guy call me, and he heard this show on a podcast, and he had told me, he said, I'm on show number 23 of your podcast. And he said, and I talked to him, and it was so refreshing to be able to talk to somebody that's taken charge of their money. So I want to encourage you to visit roymatlockjr.com and go and check out the podcast. This show will be on there along with, I think, 50 shows now that you can go back. You can learn about your money, get your money going in the right direction. If you need help, visit roymatlockjr.com, schedule a no-risk free consultation, as well as you can call and set appointments as well like that. With that being said, I'm Roy Matlock Jr., and we will talk to you next week.